I haven't read the news since 2015. Has anything happened?
A few things.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll catch up sometime if I have a few minutes. I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks and learning more about the authors who wrote those cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder. Thank you for tuning in today. And he must have been a Boy Scout because he's got my heart tied in knots. I'm here with my husband and producer of the podcast, Mr. Rossetti. How are you, my dear?
I am good. I am good. I'm glad I tied you in a knot.
Whoa. What just happened there? Did you swallow the microphone?
It's not corona. I choked on my own tongue for some reason.
Oh.
Boy Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts, actually. Were you?
Yeah. No, I was not.
Well, I was a Cub Scout for a long time, and then Boy Scouts, I think, for like a hot second. And then I remember seeing a guy who was picking his nose and then put his finger in like some honey that we were like all having, and I was like, and my last day in Boy Scouts is today.
Oh, how old were you? That was your deciding factor?
I was like, I strangely remember that at 5.
Oh, so young. Very young. Yes. I never ventured into the Boy Scout world. There were a lot of things. I just, as a kid, I was not interested. My parents really wanted me. They didn't really want me to, but I think they, you know, they encouraged me to like have some sort of activity. So they thought boy sports. So I did soccer. I did softball. I did Little League. I did baseball. I did bowling. I did pretty much every sport but football, but I never did Boy Scouts.
That's funny. I would feel that Boy Scouts would be very big in Michigan.
Oh, I believe it is. And I never did. I wish that, I always say this, and no shade, my parents did their best, but I wish they would have been like, do you want to take a dance class?
See, me, they had me like shoved in dance class right away.
Really?
Yeah. And then Boy Scouts kind of like got me out of it.
I thought you didn't start dancing until you were like in college.
No, I mean, I started when I was young, like a little wee tapper. It was me and
what?
Aaron Wiener.
I knew an Aaron Wiener.
Yep.
How do you forget a name like Aaron Wiener? I swear I knew an Aaron Wiener. Mine was a girl.
It was spelled Wiener, but they said Wiener.
Of course we said Wiener. We were jerks. We were kids. Anyway, you were a Boy Scout.
Yes.
I wasn't a Boy Scout.
But we're still good people.
We're Boy Scouts at heart.
We're still scouting. I don't know what that means, but anyway, I'm excited about this. I'm definitely really excited about this episode because you've shown me this book so many times and talked about having this author on the podcast from the minute we started talking about doing the podcast on vegan cookbooks.
Yes, Alicia C. Simpson. She is the author of a few books, including Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Foods, which was my first vegan cookbook ever.
That's so cool. What a great guest to have. And it is Alicia, right?
Correct. Great.
So say that with us, listeners. Alicia.
You will hear me call her Alicia throughout the podcast. And then I find out the error of my ways at the end. And we kept it all in the interview for you. But it's Alicia. But some call her Alicia, like her family even. So I wasn't totally off. But you'll see if you listen. You'll understand.
Don't you even ask people with the easiest names how to spell their name at your book signings?
Yes.
That makes sense. I mean, you're about to write it in a book.
Well, that being said, I did this interview, I think, 3, 4, 5 months ago. I don't even know. But now at the beginning of every interview, even if the name is Tammy, I say, Tammy? Tammy Brown. Tammy Brown? And they say, yes, Tammy Brown.
Tummy.
Hey, they could be like,
you never know.
Tammy Brune. You know, and I'm always like, every single interview, and yes, at book signings, even if, you know, someone's name is Kim, I repeat, Kim, K-I-M, before I start signing. A little trick from Bill Berlone.
Yes, animal rescue advocate and legend, and of course, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, doom.
Recently had a birthday, woohoo.
Yeah, recently had a birthday, happy birthday, Bill. He was at a book signing of mine and saw me struggle with someone's name, and the person walked away and he was like, always ask the spelling and then repeat it out loud, even if it's Chad.
That's amazing.
Yeah, great.
What great advice from like a master.
I mean, truly, because he's written several books, done several book signings, and he was, and I do it every time now. And also, it buys me a little time. time sometimes. If they're like, oh, Sandra, I'm like, Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A. And then they say yes. And as they're doing that, I'm thinking about what I'm going to write well, to them that, in the book. Sure. You've seen me do this. I don't, mm-hmm. y'all, if you come to a book signing of mine, I take it very seriously that you want me to scribble on your book. You may walk away with another recipe on your page or a novel from me. Like my little heart is just, my little vegan heart is tickled yeah. that you showed up and want me to scribble on that book. So I take the time, I write something in there, mm-hmm. and then I spell your name out loud to you in front of you like 7 times too.
Just to make sure, you never know.
literally, Alicia C. Simpson, the author on our show today, she is the reason I ask every author every week, what was your first vegan cookbook? Because Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Foods by Alicia C. Simpson was mine, and it inspired me endlessly when I first went vegan. I made the mac and cheese from there a gajillion times in my first few years of veganism. 7-layer taco dip, ranch dressing, meatloaf, nachos.
And you do have 2 copies, don't you?
Of course I do. I do because I loved it so much that the pages started falling out of my first one, Truth. And they have food splattered all over the pages, which is, you know, that's such a great sign, right?
The best sign of a great cookbook. I'm actually remembering this mac and cheese now because I'm seeing this book in my brain. It's even imprinted in my brain. I feel like you made it a lot when we were first started dating. It's the base macadamia.
That's the one, honey. That's the one. Those decadent macadamia nuts.
Yeah, I remember you making that apartment in Washington Heights in New York when we had a long-distance relationship because I was in Queens and he was in... on the island.
The north on the and island. And then you lured me over to Queens. Mm-hmm. Actually, the rent lured me over 100%. To Queens.
100%. And when we would have people over, you made it for the cooking club.
I did. That I we did the with the people club. Of Annie.
Oh, so much fun. When you get something like that going again.
Yes, yes.
In 2021.
Once we get moved, let's do it. Ooh, that's right, y'all. We got news. Y'all want a twist?
We did it. Oh, we did it.
Yes.
We officially said yes. I guess we can officially say we bought a condo.
Yes,
we closed
yes.
in 2 weeks. Probably, well, about a week by the time this is released.
Yeah.
But we're super excited. December
1st. Oh, yeah. It'll be a week. We close in a week, but we move in 2 weeks. That's right. I can't
remember. There we go.
But I was just thinking I wanted to take a pic of Alicia's book for the Instagram to show the splatters of the food and what a loved and cherished book looks like. But I think it's packed away already.
Well, that's okay. You can just put it up once you unpack.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, we're so stoked to get in our new home and our new kitchen is perfect for some videos. So we'll definitely get some more Keep On Cooking video content up on the Vegan Roadie Instagram and the IG stories.
Yeah, I really, really love that this was your first book and you got to have her on. I know that was big for you when we first started talking about this. That must have been so much fun for you to kind of connect with her.
Yeah. And honestly, Alicia is a delight and I can't wait until this pandemic is over because I want to meet her in person. That's right. She lives in Atlanta and we'll have a nice Ooh. Meal together. I'll thank her face to face. I mean, she literally changed my life.
So who is she then? Why don't you tell us a little bit more about
is this Miss Alicia C. Simpson, of course, darling. Oh my God, David. Okay, sidetrack real quick. I'm listening to Mariah Carey's new book. She sings it. She sings in it. She sings. Shout out to my manager, Jen O'Neill Smith, for turning me onto this book. But Mariah sings in between the chapters, and then she uses her, what I call her, expensive voice and says things like yes darling, fashion, festive feature. It's too much, but anyways, get Mariah Carey's book on audiobook. Don't read it physically, listen to it. It's a must. But back to our dear author Alicia C. Simpson. Alicia has several letters by her name, so let's break them down. Alicia holds a Master of Science, is a licensed and registered dietitian, and is also an international board certified lactation consultant specializing in maternal pediatric nutrition. And she's also working on her doctorate.
Ooh. And yes. Alicia is the executive director and founder of a nonprofit clinical lactation practice, PPOD Nutrition, providing nutrition and lactation education and support.
That's right. That's right here in Atlanta. As we learn, she has been cooking since she was tall enough to reach the stove. Alicia is the author of Boost Your Breast Milk, Low-Cal Vegan Comfort Foods, Vegan Celebrations, and My First True Love, Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Foods. Here to tell us all about them is my vegan fairy godmother, Alicia C. Simpson. I want to tell listeners that Alicia, you're so special to me because we're just meeting on this call right now, and your book, Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Foods, was the first vegan book I owned and cooked from. It was the book that started it all for me, which we can get into more later, but I just wanted to say up front how honored I am to be speaking with you. You changed my life. Thank you for your books and, you know, for being on the podcast, too. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm just so delighted when I finally got in touch with you and you said yes. So let's move into it. Your icebreaker question is, who was your favorite teacher in school and how did he or she impact you?
My favorite teacher was my third grade teacher. I went to a school where you had to be shipped away for third grade because there wasn't enough room. So we got like shipped to this other school where you don't know anybody. And this teacher, she was just like this amazing ray of light. I had a really horrible first and second grade teacher, same person.
Oh.
Mrs. Nishi. And
you're like, I'm going to shout that out real quick.
Shout her out. Even my child knows Mrs. Nishi. She's like, yeah, I like, this is like my Mrs. Nishi. I'm like, yeah.
Ooh.
But this teacher, and I'm so sad because I don't remember her name. I remember her name for the longest. And
I was just going to say, what's her name?
Yeah, like the good one I don't remember. And the awful one, I'm like, oh, she's etched in my brain.
I mean, ain't that the way the negative impression is the one where you're like, I can remember this. Well, we'll just spread the love to her anyways. The unknown, wonderful third grade teacher. Yeah. What school? Do you remember the name of the school for
it
the
was
third
grade? Pinedale Elementary.
Okay, well, so third grade. Pinedale Elementary. Mine was my choir teacher in middle school and high school, Cheryl Cheegertim. Aww. She kind of was just like, hey, you can do this, get it going. And then a career in theater spawned, which then later went into this. But without her, I wouldn't have understood I could create the way that I could. So aww. Mrs. Cheryl Cheegertim. Now, when we started talking on email, I looked at your signature. You have some credentials, honey. You've got some letters next to your name. You got an MS, an RD, an LD, and a BCLC. I looked up BCLC. We got International Board Certified Lactation Consultants. And then, of course, Registered Dietitian and Licensed Dietitian. If I'm incorrect on those, please tell me.
Correct.
Fantastic. Look at yes. And then we've got MS. So is that Master of Science? Or then I also saw Surgical Doctor. It's Master of Science. Okay.
Masters of Science. Yes.
I was like, she can be a surgery doctor. Why is she spending time talking to me right now? But Master of Science is just as impressive. I love all of this.
Yeah.
Before we dive into the book, can you give us a little bit, or books rather, I should say, can you give us a little bit of background on where you grew up and clue us into how cooking became part of your world?
Yeah. So I grew up in beautiful Fresno, California.
Oh, she's a West Coast gal.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Where I say our claim to fame is watching grapes dry, grapes dry. That's like a big thing. We're the grape world. And that's as exciting as it gets. We got a movie theater and the town just took off. So
I love it.
Shout out to Fresno. It's really wonderful.
When did you move to Atlanta then?
So I moved here, now it's 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah, a little over 14 years ago, because I just had my veganversary 6 days ago. So yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. 14 years vegan.
Amazing.
And like there, I was always raised around like great food. Like we're at an agricultural town in Fresno and like farms are everywhere. You can smell the cow farms. There's factory farms going from Fresno to Bakersfield to my grandma's house. And
sure.
Chickens and emus and strawberries and grapes. And so food was always a really important part of my life. And from, I think, about 6 years old, I started like stop not eating certain foods. So when I was six, I declared that I was not going to eat pork anymore.
Okay.
And not realizing that like pork is in pepperoni. So like I thought I wasn't eating pork anymore.
Right.
I do recall eating a pepperoni pizza as a child.
And being like, that's fine. It's not pork. And then you're like, wait.
Yeah, it's not pork. This is not a ham. It's not a pig.
Right.
It's pepperoni. And then when I was 13, a friend, Mahogany, and I, we were like, beef is so you know, 1989.
Right.
Please. Let's give up beef for the summer. And then we just never went back. And so I was down pork, down beef. And then I really did stop eating pepperoni at that point. I was
sure
to be like, okay, I know what this is now.
Right.
And then in college, so right after I graduated from college, I stopped eating chicken, which by default made me a vegetarian because I didn't eat seafood. But I refused to join the vegans because it's like, vegans have no sense at all and they must have never tasted cheese.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to be a vegan. That's crazy talk. And I like gave up dairy and eggs for Lent 1 year. I'm Jewish now, so that's funny. But for Lent, and it was a failure. I made it like 2 weeks and I was like, I'm dying. Oh my God. Without my protein, what am I going to do?
Oh, yep. Yep. All those things. There you go. Yep.
Yeah. But then when I moved here to Atlanta, 2006, I decided to do what every young, like 20-something does and fast. And so I went on a juice cleanse with this wonderful woman, Arden Zen. And she's like this 90-year-old raw veganist.
Alicia.
Yeah.
I'm the head of culinary development for Arden's Garden now.
Oh my God!
So I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes. Arden Zen herself.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yes, Arden made me vegan. She did the thing.
I love that. How we are so connected in so many different little ways. Once this all COVID business clears, we'll get together with some salads and juices from Arden's Garden and just talk about it all. So you did your cleanse with Miss Arden.
Yes. And in my vulnerable state of not eating, it's supposed to be a week, and we were all in our group like, this is so awesome. We're not going to eat for a month. yes. And during that time, she was just like, okay, like, Alicia, you're a vegetarian, sure, whatever. Why are you drinking or like eating the products of a cow that's supposed to grow a calf into like a giant, like 2,000-pound bull? And I was like, Arden, I don't know. I don't know. It made sense at the time. And
right?
That was all it took, was like Arden with her wisdom being like, you're being stupid. Just like, you're not a calf. And I was like, fine. And I went home and I had like some butter and cheese in the freezer that I was saving for when I was done fasting.
Sure.
And I put out. And then that was it. I was vegan.
That's amazing. That's 2006, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's story is always so interesting with this, to see how it happens. Mine was a progression as well, so I like hearing how yours was sort of these steps like that. I think people get so caught up sometimes on like, oh, well, I have to do it, and it's going to be this way and that, blah, 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 blah. And then they sort of crash because they went too hard or something, you know?
Yes.
So I love kind of hearing that you had this nice progression with it. And then, of course, Queen Zin yes. helped you on the journey, which is so lovely to hear as well. Have you had their food since they've added food?
I have. We were just there like a couple weeks ago supporting small business.
I love it. That's great. It's we're expanding. We're trying to put more food on there. Now, when did cooking come into it all then? When you went vegan then, did you just kind of like dive in and you were like, oh, now I'm obsessed with cooking?
Well, my mother tricked me when I was little, and you know, teaching me how to do all the little things in the kitchen as a mother does. And then when I was about 11, she just stopped cooking.
Wait, so tricked you, basically, you're saying, so that you would start cooking, right?
Yeah, like she just, fantastic. Like she would have these every man for himself night.
Way to go, Mom.
Yeah, it would be like Friday night, and she's like, it's just every man for himself. And I'm like, all right. And then it's slowly every man for himself night on Friday night just became like Monday and Tuesday. And, so, and then my brother's like, I'm hungry. Can you make me like the cinnamon toast thing? And I'm like, sure. I'm like, wait a second. You have fooled me.
Yep.
Fully
yep.
cooking for the family. And then when I left for college, my dad got high blood pressure, everyone, because they were just always eating out all the time.
Sure.
They were just like, well, the cook left. so, yeah. So that kind of started it. My mom kind of pushed me into cooking. And then really when I lived in South Carolina before I moved to Atlanta. I spent 2 years, 6 months and 5 days in South Carolina. Really beautiful time, you can tell. And when you're counting the days,
yep.
It's really a good time.
I'm like, something went down there. That's another podcast, I think.
Yes. And so I was like trying to experiment with tofu and like really leading into this whole, because at that point, let's see, so I was like 21 when I went vegetarian, and I was 22-ish in South Carolina. So I'd only been vegetarian a short time and trying to figure that all out. So that's when a lot of experimentation started. And that's when I actually started writing vegan comfort food, was okay. in South Carolina as a vegetarian. And so a lot of the recipes, like when it finally got turned into the book that it is today, we had to take out some of the vegetarian recipes because they were still in there, because that's when I started the book. I was vegetarian. So I had to a good bit of those recipes over. But I remember experimenting with tofu and like trying to get it right. And like, maybe if I just cut it really thin and just like marinate the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not working. Oh, bad. So yeah, a lot of experimentation there. And then like once I find, and I tell people this all the time, like once you get your stride with vegan cooking and like you figure out your substitutions and you figure out your flavors, then it just becomes this amazing adventure where you just want to cook all the time. Or at least I did. Some people hate cooking from the
beginning. No, but I think it happened the same way for me. I totally get what you're saying. It's like it's a new world of cooking suddenly, and you're excited about it because you're like, no, I'm going to recreate this thing that I really, really love.
Yes.
That's great. Well, so we're going to get back to the cookbooks, but your most recent book is Boost Your Breast Milk, and it's more and more of my friends are having babies, and I'm learning so much on this topic. Tell our listeners about your current book, Boost Your Breast Milk.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Do you want to learn more about wine?
Or do you just want to feel a little more comfortable ordering a bottle in your favorite restaurant?
Or do you just need something to make you laugh on the way to work?
I'm Joel, and I'm here with Colin and Aaron on the Stop Wasting Your Wine podcast.
We're three longtime buddies on a mission to make wine fun and approachable.
Wine can be intimidating, confusing, and judgy, and we're here to help.
Each week, we're diving into the world of wine and helping you find the best bottles while staying within your budget.
So grab a glass, and let's turn your wine woes into wine wows.
Wow, that was bad. Join Stop Wasting Your Wine on our wine journey and listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So that book I was really excited about because I am, as you mentioned, a dietitian, and I specialize in maternal and child health. I see everybody, but I really love my babies and my mom. So to be able to do something and like incorporate cooking and veganism in a book about breastfeeding and infant nutrition and maternal nutrition and health, it made me so excited. And I always, like, I remember the book, it was like sexy bitch or something like that, where it was vegan book, like vegan cooking, but like had a really catchy name that you're like, what? Super controversial, and everyone's like, I don't like the name of this book, kind of like Slutty Vegan is now.
Sure.
And I love that idea of just having a book that is vegan but doesn't really talk about it that much.
Well, that's what I was even gonna say. Yeah. I didn't know if it was specifically vegan. I assume so, but like I kind of love that idea too, because that way it can go to everyone then.
You know? It's just a completely normalized veganism.
Like, as it should be.
Right. Like this is not some special crazy food. This is like, these are the foods that help you produce more milk, that help you nourish yourself as a new mom and help you nourish your baby. And they just happen to all be plant-based foods, which in truth, like there's not like steak doesn't help you make more milk. So like it was truth in advertising. Like these are the things that help you make more milk. And they just happen to be that none of them contain animals. So hooray, nature knows what it's doing.
Yeah, I long for the day when we can just have, you know, these books and our content and everything without the word vegan splashed across it. But as we stand now, it's like for lots of things, we have to let people know what it is so that they know. But, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely. You're also the executive director here in Atlanta of Peapod Nutrition and Lactation Support, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the nutritional health of Georgia families. I was looking this up online. This is amazing, and it offers so many resources to families. Tell us a little more about it.
That really started. So while I was in my internship, it's kind of like a residency if you're a physician, but as a dietitian, you have to do your internship and like talk to real people and touch real people and touch real lives. I was at the infamous Grady Hospital here in Atlanta, which is our public hospital. Usually a lot of low income patients, a lot of patients experiencing homelessness or who are coming like from prisons. So if someone needs help and needs to go to the hospital and they're in prison, then come on down to Grady. So patients who were like shackled to the bed and had a guard outside the door.
Oh my goodness.
But while I was there, I had a patient who had just come out of a diabetic coma. And she, I'm like coming in as like the new baby dietitian. Like, I'm going to teach you all about diabetes. And I teach her all about diabetes. She's like, yes, baby. Uh-huh. Yes, baby. And I'm like, totally getting this. I have cured her of her diabetes. And then there's a Sunkist soda on the table as I'm leaving, which I just assumed was from like her daughter or someone who come in. And she's, as I'm leaving, she's like, baby, can you just hand me that?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I can't, ma'am. I can't, I failed.
You're like, I can pick it up and put it in the trash. Oops, sorry.
You just came out of a coma.
Oh my gosh.
From that point, like while I was in school, it just became so clear to me that like prevention is what's needed because, you know, that woman was in her late 60s, you know, whatever her life circumstances were, even a diabetic coma was not going to stop her from loving the things that were killing her.
Sure.
And so I was like, I think children and pediatrics is really the way I want to go. And I want to continue to help these underserved communities because like they're the ones who are just not getting this education. It's not in school. Their parents aren't talking about it really. The community is really not discussing it. It's right there in the name, underserved communities. So that really got the idea going for a nonprofit. And so I remember being in my pediatric nutrition class while I was getting my master's and like brainstorming. So my first degree was in marketing. So I like did my little business plan and I'm like writing business plans in class. Well, I really should have been paying more attention, but
sure,
ace them. and so I knew from the beginning that like, I wanted to change from infancy, the way that like kids approach food and thought about food, which means the way their parents do. So it just became the snowball of like, I want to work with kids. What do kids eat first? Breast milk. Okay. And then like, who has the children? And so I want to work with them. And then who's in the house with the children, both partners, hopefully, you know, sometimes not like me. Yay. I really want that this kind of expanded that out. And then Peapod really came into like view from there. So the origins of Peapod were like a 60 plus year old diabetic woman.
Wow.
Couldn't give up her Sunkist.
But man, you're doing the work. You're starting from the ground up, which is where we need to go. Do you guys ever do cooking classes for that?
We used to. So we used to do some great cooking classes. And for those who are on food stamps or SNAP, like at a lot of farmers market, they can get half off of their produce. So we would try to do it at places where they could get half off the produce.
Sure.
And, like learn how to cook with it. Like, oh, we have like farmers market food is sometimes like, what in the world is this? You want me to cook with yamli?
Right, right.
And so that was really a joy. And then we lost funding for that, but I would love to bring it back.
Well, keep me posted. I want to talk to you beyond this call just because I'm looking to get into an arena here in Atlanta where I teach classes and I love it, but I would love to do it in that sort of environment where it's really helping the people who need it most, in terms of vegan food. It's just really hard to get the classes out there to the people that need it.
Yes, it really is. And I loved it. We would do a class where it's like, you're going to learn 6 ways to make a bag of lentils.
Exactly.
All the meals. Like, here's a $1 bag of lentils. We're going to make tacos. We're going to make like a meatloaf. We're going to make like...
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Let's make sure we stay in touch. I would love to work with you more if there's ever an opportunity down the line.
Fun.
Yes. I love it. Now, when we look at your cookbooks, they all center around the things that I think most people can agree on and relate with: quick and easy and comfort food. I love vegan celebrations and vegan comfort foods, but you have also the low-cal comfort food books, and I also love low-cal. But what was the biggest challenge in creating a comfort food book that is also focused on low calories?
Well, one good thing is that vegan food tends to be low calorie. It's not
yes.
all, and definitely not. But I really, the challenge there was just to like not rely so heavily on some of the things that we use to make things yummy. Like we use a ton of cashews to make things yummy, and like on that earth balance, and like my original mac and cheese recipe had macadamia nuts in them because they're like super fatty and wonderful. I was like, okay, let's take those out.
Oh, I know that mac and cheese recipe. I know it very well. I think it has to be because it was at the time when I got this. We're talking about the vegan comfort food book now. That mac and cheese was the first. It was one of the reasons I was like, oh my God, I'll never have mac and cheese again. And then the cover on the original one has the mac and cheese. And I was like, well, clearly I'm going to get the, oh, they both have mac and cheese. My bad.
Yeah.
But I was
just
like,
different ones.
Yeah. I was like, well, clearly I need to get this book. So that mac and cheese sold it, honey. But anyway, continue. Low cal macadamia, taking out the macadamia to get to the low cal arena.
Get a little bit more low calorie. And then like little small swap outs, like, okay, we're going to have to use like some vegan yogurt here instead of mayo, but vegan mayo makes everything better.
Sure.
I just posted to Instagram the other day because Just Mayo is back in small places. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I'm like, quit it with the Just Egg. Just Mayo is amazing.
I know.
I bought like 5 of them. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Giant things of vegan mayo. Just I'm making potato salad and Caesar dressing like crazy.
I mean, you'll go through it. It won't, it doesn't, I don't, I think it has a long shelf life, so you'll be all
right. It does. Yeah. Now we have to make everything with mayo.
Oh my gosh.
Those little things. It helped that by then I was already a dietitian. So when I made the first vegan comfort food book, I was in sales and I knew nothing about like food in that way. And so by the time we got around to low cal vegan comfort food, I was like a bona fide health expert. And so and that made it a little bit easier as well.
Now, when you're talking, so we're talking about, you know, you said yogurt for mayonnaise. But, you know, there's things like you said, we love the mayo, the earth balance, the cashews, all of that. What ingredients did you find yourself sort of like, if you think about the things we use, like you said, what did you find yourself? Was there a set of ingredients you found yourself using more in the low-cal cookbook than you normally would in the other books?
I really leaned on seitan a bit more.
Sure.
Because it's just so like there's barely any calories, such a great texture, and you can make it taste really good without a lot of extra. And so like I think on the cover is like the Philly cheesesteak. Like you can make an amazing Philly cheesesteak with seitan, like cutting it nice and thin without all the extra. Like if I was using tofu, I probably would have fried it or done something else with it.
Sure.
So like we leaned pretty heavily on seitan for that one. And I had just come off of writing vegan celebrations, which I also like really started to experiment more with different mushrooms, like oyster mushrooms and lobster mushrooms. That helped in that process of like just expanding a bit.
That's great. Well, so that's, we're talking about the low-cal vegan comfort foods book, but then we're moving into the vegan celebrations. And what I love about this book is it's sort of, it's for celebrations, obviously, quick and easy vegan celebrations, but it's creating foods that everyone will like. That seems to be the point of it. Like, it's not just for vegans, it's for everyone. You're offering recipes to present at holidays and birthdays, and that's a place you want everyone to be able to enjoy it. Is your family vegan?
They are not. They thought I was full-blown crazy when I went, like, you always have to be different. Like, what? Like, come on. We couldn't stop with vegetarianism.
Right, right. Well, that's sort of what I was curious about, because I'm curious that then did gatherings with your friends and family sort of inspire recipes, these books, for this book, like celebrations, making things that they could all enjoy?
It really did. And it's another testament to how things grow and change over time. So now I've been, you know, vegan for quite a while. And my family loves to present their vegan meals to me.
Oh. Like
you know, she like made like a vegan stuffing for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. She's like, look, this one's vegan. This is vegan. So now they're so excited. And they're like, we used your book.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
So it does. And I think that's a helpful thing for others as well, where they're like, what do I do around the holidays? Because those are the times you're gathering with all like your meat loving family. And of course, they're going to have things to say and to be able to just present some really amazing, delicious food that stands on its own. And like, we don't have to announce like, this is the vegan thing. It's just great food.
Did you take anything for that book when we talk about celebrations and holidays? Was there anything like in your family traditions that you took and veganized for holidays or anything like that?
Yeah, a ton of it. A ton of it. And even in vegan comfort food as well. So I'm like, Mom, like, how did you make potato salad? And okay, I'm trying to create my mom's like dressing, and I'm trying to recreate my grandma's this. And the cornbread is like the cornbread I grew up with. And my mom, she is constantly making the cornbread. She has like a mix now that she keeps.
Yes.
The wet ingredients too. And like she makes my chili all the time. And so yeah, now they're very big fans.
That's great though. That's fantastic. I've said this before in this podcast, but my mom still at Thanksgiving will be like, so can you help with the turkey and blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know how many years this has to go on or how many books I need to put out for you to understand. I'm not going to be helping with the turkey this year. My goodness.
Throw it out. Can I help you not buy it?
Yeah. Can I help you accidentally drop it on the floor? Well, vegan celebrations has everything I want. You've got everything from game day snacks to birthday sweets. And my vision, the things I love when I look at the table of contents right away are like loaded baked potato skins, nachos, red velvet cupcakes. What are some of your personal favorite things to serve for celebratory events from vegan celebrations?
Oh, gosh. So I find myself in like the Kwanzaa chapter a lot. Because it has just like these great, those were complete experiments. Like I've never made a North African meatball before.
Okay.
So that was really fun working with. It was a good challenge too. Cause we're like, well, if we're going to do celebrations, we have to do all the celebrations.
Yeah.
And then St. Patrick's Day, like making these different, like soda bread. I'm like, I'd never made soda bread before. I'm like, this is amazing. This is the best.
Wow.
Cupcakes and New Year's Eve, because then I could bring in a lot of more like family recipes for New Year's Eve.
Sure.
Like those black eyed peas and like collard greens and cabbage that we made growing up. There's so many. Vegan celebrations is actually my favorite one. Yeah, that's my very favorite book. I had so much fun on that one.
It's fantastic. I mean, it really is. I'm just, again, looking at the table of contents, and it's got, I mean, this, just like the vegan comfort food book, like, you can get these, and it's very expansive. Like, you can have these, and there's something to go to for, like, everything you would need. It's amazing. They really are, like, such a nice addition for anybody's library. And the price is so great on them, too. Really? Yeah. Like, yes. So great. I think they're like $9.95 on Amazon right now, and totally worth it.
Yes. A lot of people go vegan and very like poor 20-something years of their lives. So we're not trying to break them
exactly.
In.
Yes. So give them something they can afford with the books and also the recipes. Well, that moves us into, let's talk about your sweet baby angel of a book. I know you said vegan celebrations is your favorite, but of course, you know, I've got a sweet spot in my heart for quick and easy vegan comfort foods. I think this came out in 2009. Is that right?
Yes.
And I went vegan. I actually went vegan that year, but right straight out the gate, of course, I was very junk food vegan with frozen food and focusing on that. And in my first 6 months, like bakeries, I lived in New York. So of course, if I'd stop into a bakery and they were like, we have this one vegan muffin, I'd be like, well, clearly I can eat two of those today. And that's healthy for me because it's vegan. But then I wanted to make mac and cheese. And that's when I found your book. So can you recall, I actually like to ask, since this was the first vegan book I owned, this is one of my favorite questions to ask people on the podcast. Do you remember the first vegan book that you owned and cooked from?
I do. Vegan with a Vengeance.
Yes. By the queen, Miss Issa.
Yes. So I learned from the best. Vegan with a Vengeance, that is probably like, if you open up every page, it's the most like there's flour and like
sure.
old and all that all over it. And like making her tofu scramble. And like I said, tofu was really a challenge. And I think it is for a lot of people, like, oh, like it's good if I eat it at a Chinese restaurant, but I make it at home, it just failed.
Right.
I made her tofu scramble probably 7 bazillion times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you talk about pages falling out. So I'm holding the copy of your book in my hands. I have 2 copies of Vegan Comfort Food because I got a new one just to look at. Cause my other one is literally the pages have fallen out. And they're like so much so that some have just been folded up and put back into the book. So I'm going to try and include a picture of little bits because it's splattered everywhere. There's post-it notes everywhere, which to me is like such a sign. Someone showed up at a book signing of mine last year and they showed up with one of my books all like tabbed and everything. And I got so excited. I was like, yes. They were like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's kind of, I was like, no, that's the biggest compliment. Thank you.
Yes.
But really it's falling apart in my hands. It's inspired me to keep on cooking and create things that really were not available at the time in supermarkets. So this was your first book. You know, how do you recall it came about? Did you submit proposals or did the publisher find you? How did this all unfold?
So I had the whole thing put together. It was originally called Tacos and Collard Greens,
which I love.
So I still have like a binder here with like all the rough first recipes. Because I'm old school, I have to print everything out and write it down.
I get it.
And I think I was leaving South Carolina, coming to Atlanta, that I was like, oh, wow, I have like, I think it was like 200 recipes I had. So I could make a book out of this. Why don't I try to do that? So I didn't really even, when I looked at the whole world of like trying to get your book published, I was like, this is
intense.
And I don't think that like that route is for me. So I decided to self-publish. And there was another great cookbook at the time, and it was blog Vegan Lunchbox. And I had all of her books and I was like, oh, she's self-published. And so like I reached out to the author of Vegan Lunchbox and I was like, how did you do it? And it was Jennifer McCann, Vegan Lunchbox. And she was giving me some pointers and all the stuff you have to do with layout. And I was like, okay, this is also sounding like way over my head.
Crazy, right? People that do it amaze me. It's such an undertaking. It's crazy.
Yes. So there's people who just, that's their whole job is to do the book layout. So I actually turned to like my favorite Issa Books and I was like, okay, who did the book like layouts and editing? I'll hire someone to do that part and I'll just insert the recipes and publish it myself. And so I reached out to that individual and she happened to be friends with Matthew Lohr, who was at DeCapo, who published all of Issa's books at the time. And he was just leaving and creating his own publishing house. And they were apparently just like having drinks one night and having dinner. And she was like, like I'm working on this project. She's going to be self-publishing and, you know, it's this vegan cookbook, like take a look at it. And then she emails me like, so I was meeting with Matthew and I brought up your book and like, do you guys want to have a conversation? He'd like to possibly publish it. I was like, whoa, oh my God.
So, I love it.
And then it really just took off from there. Like I remember I was in the room of my house that I am right now, my office. It looked very different, much messier. And I was like pacing back and forth throughout the entire conversation. I did not sit still. And as he's like, okay, the title will not do. We have to kick the vegetarian recipes out. Like if we're doing this, we're doing this. You're vegan. This is vegan. And so that was the start of it. I was going to go self-publishing and then everything just kind of fell into place. And I ended up with like a book deal.
Yeah.
And I've done all my books with the
Yeah, not just one. You have done all your books with the Experiment. So like you've got you have a great relationship with them. Matthew, I actually met when I started my journey into books, and he was so great to me. Just offered me so much advice and was really open. And just a good guy. And actually your book came up, of course, because I was like, well, I saw, you know, the Experiment on my first book, but he was like, oh yeah, we love her. So clearly you have a great relationship with them because you keep putting books out with them, and they've put some like yourself and some really great authors are really on with them.
Yes, they've got some juggernauts. They're like
So it's really cool to be on that. And the books are, your books are high quality. They're just so great. So but I love how that happens. This is for everyone listening. Like, if you have an idea, go for it, and when things are supposed to happen, the universe works. It falls into place.
All comes together, even when you're like, no, I don't even want to do that.
Right.
It's gonna, yeah.
Yeah. The universe is going to be like, no, no, but you're supposed to. So like, I'm going to keep tossing this your way. Now, this book's extremely helpful for the beginner, one might say, from page one, with the first section being about your new vegan pantry, which I needed so badly at the time, explaining things like flax, liquid smoke, nutritional yeast, because this was 2010 for me. And it was all totally foreign to me.
Yeah.
So you also busted the myth that vegan food was expensive. These recipes are inexpensive, which was refreshing for me to discover as well. Now, we've sort of talked about this already. It wasn't, I guess, was the idea for vegan comfort food then, was Matt kind of like, hey, let's, or Matthew, let's go this route? Or were you like, oh, this is turning into like a focus on vegan comfort food? And how did it really go from tacos and collards to that being the idea then?
So, like, the reason it was called tacos and collard greens is because I'm a California girl. And so, like, those are my comfort foods. Like, Mexican food is my comfort food. But also, I'm African American. So that soul food is also my comfort food. And so, everything, he's like, I'm just feeling a theme of everything is your comfort food here. Like, you're just, because it really was just like that book was just me making everything that I made at the beginning of my vegan journey. It was my vegan journey. Into cooking. And so, of course, you're making all the things you love. And so, like, none of those recipes were like, oh, like with vegan celebrations, like, oh, I'm, you know, we're doing a Hanukkah. So like, what foods am I making?
Sure.
It's all just like, this is what I'm cooking. This is what I love to make. And so really the comfort food, he was like, this is comfort food. So we're just going to call it what it is. That makes it easier.
I love that. And I love too hearing that this book is sort of like, it's where you were and it's what you were making. In Chloe Coscarelli's interview for this podcast, she's kind of, the same thing was for her. She's like, these books are a representation of sort of where I'm at the time when I'm writing them.
Right.
And I just feel like that's a very authentic place to come from. And it makes the recipes that much more delicious, I'm sure.
Yes. It can get a little bit like a yearbook where you're like, oh my God. That I was using that and great. Oh gosh, there's so many other things you can do besides that now.
Yeah.
I'm like, fine, that's where I was in my journey.
And it's going to resonate with somebody who's just starting out too, because if that's where you were, then that sort of makes sense, you know?
Yes. Yes. I was using smoked paprika instead of liquid smoke, and now it's all I use is smoked paprika.
Oh my gosh. Me too. We're totally twinning out on this. It's absolutely like I'm something will call for liquid smoke and I'm like, well, why don't I try maybe some smoked paprika instead?
Yes.
But so obviously I said my first go-to was the mac and cheese, but you go above and beyond offering up easy and approachable recipes for everything a person going vegan thinks they might never have again, from ranch dressing and blue cheese dressing, enchiladas, waffles, the egg MacGuffin, which I love, omelets, which the omelets in this book are one of my favorite omelet recipes, maple smoked black beans, vegetable tempura, pepperoni mini pizzas, and sweets. We have cupcakes, oatmeal cookies, vanilla bean ice cream. Now, this is where I learned how to cook vegan food from this. What are some of your favorites? Like, what are three dishes you've continued to come back to in this book?
We make a lot of the fettuccine Alfredo.
Delicious.
The staple. And I turn that into so many other things as well, like adding artichokes to it and spinach. Now you have a spinach artichoke dip. And that one we use quite a bit. The Caesar salad recipe, that also I make that dressing maybe like once a week. So that's a constant one. And then mac and cheese and the vegan meatloaf, the veggie meatloaf. Those, of course, the tacos. I make a lot of stuff out of there, but and the tacos and the yeah.
I'm sure you make. Do you make like little adjustments on them now as you go along and everything?
I do. Yeah, I do. Of course. There's little tweaks, like the mac and cheese I make is tweaked from that book. Yeah, the meatloaf is definitely I've tweaked that. The Caesar dressing and the Alfredo I do make just as written. Yeah.
I understand that there's ones in my books I go back to too. And I'm like, no, I like this just as actually don't mess with it because it's not going to be right. You know?
Right. I've experimented with it. I'm like, nope, that was wrong.
Yep.
Nope.
And this book, I mean, it really did truly made me comfortable with being exploratory in the kitchen. So I have you to thank for that. And you really shined a light on how delicious vegan food can be and how I wouldn't have to give up anything. So I feel this book is very much an intro for people who might feel that way and a nice, it's a comfortable place to stick your toe in the kiddie pool of veganism. And like I said, it's available to steal for $9.95 on Amazon, y'all. So get it now. What is some advice you might give to someone just starting out who is curious about veganism?
Probably the biggest thing I would say is like, go slow. Get your collection of recipes that you really love to and are go-tos. Like find your restaurants, like use Happy Cow, the app Happy Cow. I love it. Like go to that and it'll just pull up all the places that have vegan and vegetarian food in your area. And it can tell you like, they'll veganize this or that. Like get a plan together. Cause I think that first time that I was vegetarian and I gave up milk and dairy and I just completely burned out because I had no idea what I was doing.
Sure.
In college, I relied on like just a jar of fettuccine Alfredo and like threw some broccoli in it and pasta. And like, that's my meal. And then when I couldn't do that, I was like, I'm going to die. So just like make a plan. And I know that's as a dietitian, I already know that people just don't tend to do a lot of planning when they think of food. But like, once you understand like what you can do at restaurants, like, yeah, you can go to Chipotle and there's plenty of stuff there for you. You can go, you know, most places. Still to this day, I have friends like, oh my gosh, I don't think we can go to this restaurant. I'm like, I can go just about anywhere.
100%. That drives me crazy. I'm like, don't worry about me. Like, I will figure it out. I'm like, if it means I have a green salad when I'm with you, though most of the time that's not the case anymore. I'm like, I'm not going to be upset about that. Like, I'm going to be happy about seeing you. There will definitely be something for me to eat there.
Yes. And so like, that's such a big part of it. When I see people like try out like being vegan and they're like, oh, it didn't work out. They're like, I just like being social was so hard and I didn't know what to do with my favorite meals. And I really just wanted this. It's like, that's where a lot of people fall off is they just don't know what to do in social situations and what to do with their favorite foods that they liked before. So,
well, and I think it's about, especially now with all the things available in the supermarket. So if you're not big in cooking in the kitchen, you can go to the supermarket and find vegan stuff that isn't the worst in terms of processed food that you can actually get away with. And, you know, it's trial and error. Like if you try something, don't just be like, oh, this is terrible. I'm not doing vegan. Like it's just like non-vegan food. You try something, you don't always like it, you know?
Completely. People all the time are like, oh no, I tried vegan cheese. I didn't like it. Like, there's a lot of vegan cheese.
Which one did you have? There's about 60 out there. So come on.
Yes. Like which ones did you try?
I will say back in 2009, I read Skinny Bastard and I was like, oh, I'm going to get this day of cheese and it's going to be amazing. I looked everywhere for it. I finally found it. Cause back then not as readily available. And I was like, well, I'm going to make cheese enchiladas. They were so terrible. Day has improved their recipe drastically. But again, trial and error, right?
Yes.
So what's your, I always ask this, what's the book brag?
Book brag!
Something about either, you know, one of the books or the books collectively, something that has meant a lot to you or something like this is your total moment to have bragging rights on your achievement of writing these books.
I think really like if I had to have a book brag, I love them all in their own special little way. They're all my children. Low-cal vegan comfort food. I'm really proud of myself for that book because I wrote it at a time. I was finishing my master's degree. I was pregnant. I was starting a business And I remember Matthew came to me and he was like, do you need more time on this book? And I was like, no, Matthew, I'm solid. I can't eat because I'm throwing up with morning sickness. Sure. But that's not going to affect the cookbook making process. So it ended up being late.
But it got done. It got done.
Yes. But the exploration in that book was so lovely and fun. And that's one I come back to a lot as well. And I love that, you know, even though I've gone on this journey and I cook differently than I did in those first couple of books, that, you know, they are so accessible to someone just starting out, and they do spell everything out for you and kind of take away the mystery. And I try to relate, you know, some of my own experiences through that in each book. And even in like the new book, Boost Your Breast Milk, you know, I do, you know, talk some about my own experiences through motherhood and nursing and what helped and what was awful. And so, yeah, there's a good bit of me in each one of those books. So just buy them all, y'all.
Yeah, like, come on now. Get that library together.
It doesn't matter. Like, if you have kids, just buy them.
And then you can give advice to all of the mothers that when you don't have kids, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. You'll be like, no, I read this book. You can gift it to your mother friends. That's what you can do.
Yes, there are really solid recipes in Boost Your Breast Milk. Like, those are the solid recipes that I'm like making now. Like, there's these lemon oat scones, and I make those time. So, and all the different kind of milks. Like, I do tend to make a lot of my own milks, and so a lot of that stuff is food that, you know, just as every cookbook, it's the food that I'm eating now. And I continue to, so forever the cookbook writer, I do have these giant binders full of the recipes that I'm cooking now. That I'm constantly tweaking and moving around. And so when they were like, we want to add recipes to this book, I'm like, oh, well, let me just gather up all the food that I'm eating now that has these ingredients in it. Ta-da.
I love that.
So that made that really easy.
And did you do the photos for these books?
I did not. So the first one I had really lovely lady. She did all the photographs for me. I'm not a food photographer. If you ever check out my Instagram, it's a turquoise table that's in my dining room table. And I just, if the light's good, it's good.
That's it. Yep. You're getting what you're getting.
Yes.
I love it.
I let the experts do their thing. I'm very big. Like, listen, we all have talents, and that's not mine.
I'm the same way. I every now and then I have a decent camera, and every now and then I get really lucky with a picture. But like the time that is devoted to that and the talent is amazing. So kudos to the food photographers out there. We're saying
yes.
So let's move on to your Baker's Dozen rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fantastic. Here we go. Alicia, cupcakes or donuts?
Ooh, donuts.
Food on a skewer or a tiny spoon?
Oh, a skewer.
Favorite kitchen tool?
Oh, whisk.
And that's a good one. What's your favorite sauce on pasta?
Alfredo.
I had a feeling that might be the answer. What's been your go-to COVID snack when in isolation?
Oh, the spinach artichoke dip made of that Alfredo.
Yes. Now, what's your... Wow. Have you had jobs in food? My next question is first job in food. So it could be as an author, but have you done anything else? What was your first job in food if it wasn't author?
My first job in food was Red Lobster in Hampton, Virginia.
Ah, there we go.
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, hey, I have a yes. Those you veganize it,
which you can veganize very easy, everyone.
100%. And I'm just gonna plug my book. Then there's a recipe for it in Epic Vegan. What's your favorite spice to cook with?
Oh, I should say smoked paprika.
Yes. If you could live in any country, where would you live?
I live in Canada.
Oh, me too. My husband and I were just talking about it. We were like, we should just do it.
Yes, I already have a plan. I have a whole plan. I'm getting my doctorate now, and that's like part of my plan. It's like, I'm going to be an adjunct professor in Toronto, and then I'm going to get my citizenship, and I'll be dual citizen.
You're such a smart cookie.
Yes, I'm going to get that plan together.
I love it. Well, okay, so I'll see you in Canada. Who's a celebrity you want to make dinner for?
Oh my goodness. Oh, it's supposed to be rapid fire.
That's okay. It always slows down around this point. I'm fine with it.
Let's see. Probably just because I like the conversation, Barack Obama. I feel like it'd be some good, especially right now, some solid conversation.
So good. And he would probably love all of your food from vegan comfort food. And what is your most used emoji?
Oh, I really overuse winky face.
I want to start texting you now just to get some winks from you. What have you been binge watching?
Oh, like what you should not been binge watching when things bad. The Handmaid's Tale. Like, oh God. Y'all, don't do that to yourself. It's not going to get happier.
Yeah, you're like, now is not the time. This is not a feel-good sort of time. I'm giving you this as a cautionary tale.
Oh, God. I was talking to my partner last night, and he's like, I want to watch it. I know the writing's good and the acting's good, but I was like, it's fine. I've watched literally now 24 solid hours of just weeping. And like, oh, God, this could happen tomorrow.
I actually haven't watched it. I haven't watched it, but now it's not the time, so I'll hold off.
It's so amazing, and yet, like, watch it in happier times.
Okay, noted. And as a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I really, really wanted to be a psychologist.
I love it.
Which I guess is kind of a lot what I do now.
I was going to say, and I also feel like it could still happen for you. You seem to just keep adding accolades, so why not?
Yes. Well, now I'm getting my doctorate now, and that's it. I'm telling everyone this is it, probably.
Did you just say probably? You ended that sentence with probably.
I mean, like, you can add a little, like, I have a couple certifications, but so really, though, this is it.
Dot, dot, dot. Probably.
This is it. Yeah. And my partner, he wants to get his PhD in psychology. So I was like, I'll just read all your Brits.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Perfect. And so your last question, what's a positive moment from your life yesterday?
Oh, well, I adopted two sweet.
Yeah.
Foster. I didn't adopt them. I took in two sweet little foster babies yesterday. Little foster kittens, Zeke and Ashley. And they're awesome. And like watching my daughter with these little tiny, like 130 gram kittens and like giving them so gently and speaking to them so sweetly. It's just the best.
I love that.
Foster an animal, like do it. Like these, one was found on the side of the road. The other was found with her sister, and her sister did not make it. I was supposed to be taking home three kittens.
Aww.
And between like the email to pick them up and going there, we lost one.
Oh.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Well,
that is a very positive moment. I love that. If it's not in the interview in the beginning, I don't know if it'll make it, but we'll say it here. Alicia's joining me with barely any sleep because of these kittens, because they're bottle fed right now. So bless your heart.
Yes, they are bottle fed every 2 hours.
So that's your rapid fire. Good job. And let's wrap things up here and let people know where they can find you. Where's the website they can find you? Instagram, Facebook, social media, all that sort of thing.
So on Facebook, it's just Alicia Simpson or Peapod Nutrition.
Is it Alicia? And I've been saying Alicia this whole time.
So here's the fun fact about me. My name is Alicia. My parents named me after Alicia Maldonado, an actual person. They call me Alicia. So.
Whoa.
My whole family calls me Alicia, although I was named after a person who's definitively Alicia. And my mother will tell you, oh, no, her name's Alicia. So for the first 25 years of my life, everyone called me Alicia. And then when I was 25, I was like, I'm going to start going by my actual name. So I have people call me both, and I don't really pay attention. Like, it's not something that even my ears tune to if you call me Alicia. I'm like, oh, we just must go way back. If you call me. That means it's like we go way back. We've been friends since like the 90s.
So. I mean, in my heart, we go all the way back to 2009. So hey, yes. We'll use that as my reasoning for saying Alicia, but it's Alicia, and that is what I'm going to call you. So again, tell us the website and social media handles. Now that I know how to say your name, tell us where we can find you.
So you can go to AliciaSimpsonPhD.com. You can go to peapodnutrition.org. Those all are the same for Instagram and Twitter and all of those things. So that's where you can find me.
And where do, oh, as you same, you said same for Instagram and Twitter and all that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Fantastic. It's at Alicia Simpson PhD on Instagram.
So on Instagram, it's Peapod Nutrition.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. All right. Well, fantastic. Alicia, you are just the best. I'm so happy to have finally met you. Thank you for doing this. And thank you, Dustin, for all of your contributions to the vegan world. We're all so grateful.
Thank you, Dustin. Thanks so much for having me.
I love her. How fun was she?
Oh my gosh. Wow. You two really hit it off.
No, I'm not joking. I want to hang out with her once this pandemic leaves us, I say.
And then the connection between Arden's was like random and just crazy.
Yeah,
too.
It's so fun. Totally. It was just crazy.
That's amazing. So we're at that time of the show.
What time is that, dear?
The time to give us Dustin's dish.
Dustin's dish.
What a dish.
Mm. Oh,
for the week. Ooh, what is it?
Ooh, y'all want a dish? Okay. Mm-hmm. Wine. It's always wine o'clock somewhere, am I right?
Oh, wait. Not that wine?
Not that wine. Not any kind you want. But we're talking about the alcoholic kind. Yes. 'Tis the season, y'all. Mm-hmm. I don't drink anymore, so this tip actually stems from me not drinking, because when I did drink, there was never any wine left in the bottle. Am I right, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was gone. Drippity drop, drop down this little throat here. Drinkity do. But listen, when you have that little bit of wine left in the bottle and you know it's going to go bad, pour it into an ice cube tray and you can pop the 1 ounce cubes out later for sauces, soups, risottos, or stews to add a little depth of flavor to it.
Wow, that's great. I mean, right? We never finish a bottle.
I stopped drinking.
Yeah, no, I mean, we always have it for guests, or occasionally I have a glass, but that's like a super resourceful take on saving that extra little bit of vino, getting a little flavor pop for, you know, anything like, soups, stews. I mean, can you put it in soups?
That's what I just said. Sauces, yeah. Soups, stews, sauces, anything. Risottos, stews. Stews was said a million times. Anything. Anything like saucy.
Stew studio.
You can just put it. Side note again on a musical artist. David and I saw Phil Collins in concert a few years ago. Listen, I've never been a big Phil Collins fan, but I was like, I'm going to get him these tickets. And, you know, I'm a concert freak. So I was like, I'll give the concert a shot. It was amazing. I am now a Phil Collins fan. And he was in...
He had like back surgery. So he was like in an office, like a swivel office chair
the entire show.
Killed it. Like
crushed it.
Vocals. And then there was one point, the song that everybody was waiting for, the lights went down, the chair just... Feel it in the air tonight. And he was magically like standing with a cane, and everybody like lost their mind.
Yes,
he stood for with like a cane.
It was so good.
Got a lot of side notes.
Side musical
notes.
We're hitting those musical side notes. But listen, back to Dustin's dish. Well done on me, Martha. Thanks, honey. Listen, we've gotten a couple chirps in the DMs for a cooking club on Facebook. So we are seriously considering it, okay? I think we would start in January. And I'm actually thinking, my dear, tell me what you think about this. It might be fun to start with that encyclopedia of a book, Veganomicon.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I actually haven't looked at that one very much.
Me neither. Our dear friend Rachel Spadaro, friend of the pod, I
bless
hope.
Bless her heart.
We love her so
love her,
much.
Love her.
Rachel Spadaro, shout out to you.
Miss
gifted
you,
it to me early in my vegan days and made a couple, and was part of that cooking club we spoke of earlier too. But I made a couple things of it way back when, and it would be fun to revisit it because I haven't touched it since.
Okay. Okay, so this is maybe on the cooking club?
Maybe it's on. Y'all need to speak up, slip into the Vegan Roadie DMs and let us know.
What do you think? Yeah, but most importantly, or maybe most even
more, yeah.
More importantly, please rate, review, and subscribe. We say it all the time, but it is very helpful for us. So rate, review, and subscribe this podcast wherever you listen, but especially Apple podcasts.
Yeah. And you guys, thank you for listening this week. Meet us back here next Tuesday for some more delicious dish talk. Keep on cooking. And remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.